firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord is laid.
Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greeting the Apostle Paul gives in his letter to the Ephesians, and we echo those words to all those climbing aboard the Bible bus today. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, welcoming you to another great study on Through the Bible. Now, in just a minute, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, begins our lesson in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. So while you find your place in God's Word, let's welcome Greg Harris here today to update us on the location of our world prayer team and to share some great letters from our fellow listeners in that particular area of the world. So hi, Greg.
Hey, Steve.
Where in the world are you taking us today?
Well, the World Prayer Team is in Central Europe, and every week we pray through a different region of the world. And today we're going to go on our knees, as it were, to Serbia, which used to be part of what we knew as Yugoslavia.
Right, and also part of the Soviet Union.
Yeah, well, it was part of the communist bloc.
And
so when we think about a country in Central Europe like Serbia, they are recovering from wars that took place after the breakup of their country and the breakup of the Soviet Union. They have economic problems. They have ingrained formal traditional religion, but not real born-again believing faith. So lots of challenges, but we have a wonderful producer in Branko Jelicak. His name is a little hard to pronounce, and it's nothing like it's spelled, but I think I came close.
Yeah.
And Branko is a wonderful man who loves Dr. McGee and does a great job with our ministry to Serbia. And I brought some great letters that I think will show that.
Great. And I've got one right in front of me, so I want to jump right in. Here it is. I've listened to Through the Bible for a couple of days. I'm very surprised that I did not know that such a program existed in our language. The signal is exceptional. I believe that all this is not accidental and that God wants me to get close to Him and turn away from some of my old bad habits. First of all, I do not mean physical behavior, but rather the spiritual disinterest that has been present in my life so far. Now I feel that God is calling me. Every word I hear or read in the Bible is as if it was specifically meant for me. Thank you for your efforts and work. I wish you a lot of success.
Wow. And Steve, even though we read letters all the time, the kind of insight I just had is think about that. All the time we're getting new listeners all around the world. Think about that. As we broadcast in over 120 languages and all over North America, isn't it thrilling to think that maybe every few days we're getting new listeners joining the Bible bus?
Yeah, it
very,
really
very
is.
Very exciting.
It really is.
Now, here's another letter. We are a Roma family who live within a Roma settlement. And people might recognize the word gypsy often is associated with the Roma people.
Right.
We have 9 children. This is very common in the Roma culture. Lots of children. The oldest son is married and our baby is not yet 1 year old.
Man.
So they've got quite a range
of
children.
Got a supermom
in
there somewhere.
We want to thank you for the solar radio. We often do not have electricity, but we can still hear the word of God. Many years ago, the gospel was shared with us, and we have worked hard to live by it and to provide the basic things our children need for life. We moved into an abandoned house and renovated it ourselves. Over the years, we've done field jobs, and we've collected recyclable materials, paper, plastic, and old iron.
Mm.
We do not deal with dishonest business. We do not steal and lie. Now, the reason they're saying
that is because they're gypsy.
There is often a reputation, a caricature, stereotype. And so they're saying we are not part of our old life, our old culture.
Mm-hmm.
They go on. It's better to have little but live in peace. I think the Bible says that.
Mm-hmm.
Than to have much but to get it in a dishonest way. At the end of each day, while resting, we gather together to listen to your program, to read the Bible, and to pray, thanking God for everything He has given us. Our life is often difficult, but we realize the only worthwhile and important thing is our relationship with Him. He created us, gave us these lives, and we are trying to live faithfully and by His word. When this earthly life is finished, we would like to hear God say that we were good and faithful servants.
Wow. What an encouraging letter that is, and amen to that. That's all of our desires.
Yes, amen.
Well, if you'd like to join our world prayer team and pray for listeners like this in Serbia and around the world, go to ttb.org/pray. Now let's pray as we begin our study in Ephesians. Heavenly Father, thank you for the tremendous power of your word, how it impacts people's lives. Thank you that we get to play a small part in it by helping to pray daily for Through the Bible around the world and for getting this broadcast out. I pray that your hand of blessing would continue to be on the ministry and on your word. You would continue to call people to yourself for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, as we return back here to the epistle to the Ephesians, as you can see, we're going to move rather slowly through this epistle. I feel very keenly that these epistles should be given top priority. Romans, Galatians, and Ephesians, and we spent quite a bit of time with 1st and 2nd Corinthians. I feel like that these have a throbbing, personal, living message for you and me today, probably as no other portion of the Scripture does. In other words, when God said to Joshua, "Arise, go over this Jordan," I know he's not talking to me, but it has a special message for me, and it has a special interpretation, as I know it meant to Joshua, but to me it has an application. In fact, the epistle to the Ephesians is the Joshua of the New Testament, and we're going to see that as we come now to our study today. Now, we got down to verse 2 of chapter 1. We're not moving very fast. Now, let me read. "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, we're going to talk about this word grace a great deal in this epistle. And I'm going to pass by it with just a word or two. It was a word of greeting, and the word grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace was the Gentile form of greeting in that day. The word in the Greek was charis. Two men meet on the street. One would say to another, "Charis." I was walking down the street in Athens with a Greek friend of mine who was a missionary. And he spoke to several people as we went by. And I said to him, "It sounds to me like you greet them with the word charis." And he laughed and he said, "Well, it's similar to it." So that apparently today it's still a form of greeting. Grace be to you and peace. Now, the word in the Gentile world, the pagan world, the secular world, was the word grace. Now, the word that is the religious word is the word peace. That is the word that you would hear in Jerusalem, shalom, grace to you in peace. And Paul has given both of these words a wonderful meaning. In fact, the matter is he's lifted them to the height. And the grace of God is the means by which God saves us. We'll see that when we come to the second chapter here. And I'll talk about it then, but you must know the grace of God before you can experience the peace of God. And Paul always puts them in that order, grace before you can have peace. And today, you see everywhere the word peace. Of course, what they're talking about is generally peace in some section of the world, or world peace is what they're talking about. But the world can never know peace until it knows the grace of God. And the interesting thing is you don't see the word grace around very much. You see the word love. You see the word peace today. They are very familiar words. They are supposed to be taken from the Bible, but they don't mean, when you see it on a bumper sticker of a car, it doesn't mean there what it means in the Word of God, and we'll have occasion to call attention to that. Now, this peace is peace, first of all, with God, because your sins are forgiven. And your sins can never be forgiven until you know something of the grace of God. Now, the grace and peace is from God our Father, and He becomes our Father when we experience the grace of God and regenerated by the Spirit of God. And it's from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is interesting. Doesn't Paul believe in the Trinity? Why didn't he say from the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit was in Ephesus, indwelling believers. The Lord Jesus was seated at God's right hand in the heavens. So that we need to keep our geography straight when we study the Bible. A great many people get their theology warped because they don't have the geography right. And when we get that straightened out, it even helps our theology. Now, will you notice we come to a marvelous verse here. It's verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, that is a very wonderful expression, but I'm going to change that just a little today. Blessed here be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. And you'll notice places are in italics in the text, in Christ. Now, we notice here that there's something that is very important here. He has blessed us. We praise Him with our lips because He first made us blessed. And our blessing is a declaration. His blessings are deeds. We pronounce Him blessed. He makes us blessed. Now, what does it mean, blessed? Well, the word has in it the thought of happiness and joy. God is rejoicing today, and God is happy today because He has a way of saving you, and He can bless you. And this is so wonderful. In fact, the matter is, I can't think of anything more wonderful than this. And He hath blessed us. Now, He's not speaking here of something that may be ours when we get to heaven, but He's speaking of something that's ours right now. Somebody says to me, have you had the second blessing? Second blessing? Well, my friend, I'm working way up in the hundreds, back up in the thousands. I've not only had a second blessing, I've had 1,000 blessings, by the way. And He's blessed us, and He's done it in Christ. And we're going to see that here, because that's something else. And here we are, blessed with all spiritual blessings, and we should see this. It's in the heavenlies. I don't know exactly where the heavenlies are, but I do know where the Lord Jesus is. He's at God's right hand, and we're told here that these blessings are in Christ. Well, may I say to you that we need to be careful with this. It doesn't say here that these blessings are with Christ. Now, there are those that read it like that. Right now, you and I are seated in Christ. Somebody says, you go into heaven someday? The answer is, that's generally given, well, I hope so. Well, let me say this to you. If you're going to heaven, you're already there in Christ. He's blessed you in the heavenlies, in Christ. And you are there, my friend, regardless of what your position is down here. You're in Christ. Why, your practice down here may not be good, but if you're a child of God, you're already in Christ. Now, some people even misunderstand it like this. I was teaching Ephesians not long ago in a conference, and they called on a brother at the end of the service to lead in prayer. And he got up and he says that, Lord, we just thank you that this morning we've been sitting in the heavenly places in Christ. Well, he missed the point again. We didn't have to come to a Bible study, as important as that is, and have our hearts thrilled with these great spiritual truths to be sitting in the heavenlies. The fact of the matter is, you're in the heavenlies in Christ. Even, my friend, when you're down in the dumps, you can be down in the dumps, but if you're in Christ, you're seated in Him. That's something that He's done for us. Now, He's blessed. Blessed be the God and Father. We praise Him. Why? Because He's blessed us. Now, He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And I want you to see something, to me, that is a tragic thing today, and it's this. The picture that's given, of course, is the book of Joshua, as we've said before, that the children of Israel were given the land of Canaan. And by the way, Canaan is not heaven. Canaan is a picture of where we live today. Canaan could never be heaven because there was enemies there to be fought. There was battles to be fought. And when you get to heaven, they won't be there. Down here is where the battle is being fought. And the interesting thing is this, God gave them the land. But he said to them, every place that your foot shall stand upon, that's going to be yours. That's what he told Joshua. But couldn't Joshua say, well, Lord, you've already given it to us. Let us walk in and take it. My friend, God has blessed us today with all spiritual blessings. We're in Christ. And have you ever stopped to think of what we have in Christ? Christ has been made unto us. He's been made sanctification, justification. I started out in a church as a boy working for my salvation. I didn't do very well with that. May I say to you, Christ is my justification. And then I got saved, and then I tried to work to be good. I didn't do very well at that either. And then I found out that Christ has been made unto me sanctification. May I say, I've got everything in Him, blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Friends, you can't improve on that, can you? At least I don't think you can. All of that that you have in Christ. And when you come to Christ, you get everything in Him. Don't come and tell me today that I have to wait later on and that I have to tarry and wait for the Holy Spirit to give me something special, a baptism or something. Why, my friend, I got it all in Christ. And that's when you say Christ is a curse. You say Christ is a curse when you say to me, I don't get everything in Christ. I got everything when I came to Him. Now, there are two ways, though. You've got to lay hold of these possessions, your spiritual possessions. They're yours. I want to tell two stories today, and both of them are true. I was in Chicago many years ago, picked up the evening paper during the week, and this was a little clipping, a little article, and I clipped it out, that was on the front page, actually, of the paper, but way down at the bottom, wasn't apt to be noticed. And here was the byline, Chicago, June 9. The flop houses and saloons of Chicago's Skid Row were searched today for one Stanley William McKenna Walker, 50, an Oxford graduate and heir to half of an $8 million English estate. The missing persons detail hope that somewhere among the down-and-outers who line the curbs and sleep off wine binges in the cheap hotels, they would find Walker, son of a wealthy British shipbuilder. You know, when I read that, I thought how tragic it is. Imagine being an heir to a half of $8 million and being a wino that's sleeping in two-bed hotels in Chicago. My friend, I felt like sitting down and weeping for that poor fella to think that that was true of him. And then I got to thinking, just think of the children of God today. They're living in cheap hotels. They are living off of the little wine of this world. And I don't mean that necessarily literally, but they engage in cheap entertainment down here. And they are wealthy beyond the dreams of Croesus. Imagine being blessed with all spiritual blessings and living like a pauper down here. And there are a lot of folk in our churches today living just like that. This was tragic. And later on, I was telling that story here in Los Angeles when I was pastor. And a lady came up to me afterward. She was a visitor from Chicago. She said, Dr. McGee, do you know how that story worked out? What really happened? I said, no, I never heard. She said, well, they found him. Oh, I said, well, that was wonderful. No, she said, it wasn't quite so wonderful. She said they found him dead, sleeping in a doorway a cold night later on that fall in Chicago, dead. And I thought, oh, my, how tragic it is to live like that in this life. My, I tell you, to have that and to die like that man died. And a lot of Christians live and die just like that, and yet they're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in Christ. Now, there's something else that we have in Christ, and I want to tell this other story, and this is a story that is also true. There was out west here years ago an heir to a British nobleman. He was one of the heirs, and he was also living in poverty, just eking out a struggling existence. And finally, when this nobleman died, they began to look for him, and they found him. And when they found him, they told him that he was the heir. And you know the great deal of publicity was made of it. You know what that fella did? Why, he believed it. He went down to the clothing store, showed them the article, and the lawyer that had come to look for him and had found him, why, he was with him. And he said, "I want the best suit of clothes you got." And he bought a first-class ticket and returned back to England in style. You know why? He believed it. He believed that that was his. And he acted upon it. My friend, you can go either route you want to today. You can go first class as a Christian, or you can go down in the steerage. You can go second, third, fourth class. And a lot of Christians doing that today. But God wants you to know that you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Now, he hasn't promised us physical blessings. He has promised us spiritual blessings. And these are in the heavenlies. They are in Christ. And you are not going to have any spiritual blessing in this life that doesn't come to you through Jesus Christ, my friend. That's just how important he is. He not only has saved us, but he is the one today that blesses us. Oh, how we need to lay hold of him in faith and start living as a child of God should live. Now we come here to this section that is very important. We have attempted to give you this outline before here. We have God the Father plan the church. See, you wouldn't even build a house today without a blueprint. At least I don't think you would. You'd be very foolish if you did build a house without a blueprint. And here we find that God the Father planned the church. Now, what did he do in planning for the church? Well, there are three things that are mentioned here. He chose us in Christ. And second, he predestinated us to the place of sonship. And third, he made us accepted in the Beloved. Now, I know that I've come here today to a passage of Scripture that's difficult. And it may be a good thing we're coming to the end of this period, because I want you to gird up your loins or your mind next time to look at the strongest passage there is in the Word of God. We're going to talk about election. We're going to talk about predestination. And these are two words that are frightening. People run to cover when these words are mentioned. Why, you'd think that they're dirty words. But may I say to you, they're Bible words. And they mean something. And I hope we won't be extreme, but I think that we need to see here that it's something that's very important to see. He says here, according as he chose us in him, that is in Christ, before the foundation of the world, in order that we should be holy and without blame before him. Now this verse, and these verses that follow this, they're essentially the most difficult verses in Scripture to grasp. They are, first of all, let me say, they are repulsive to the natural man. And unfortunately, the average believer today finds them difficult to accept at face value. The statements are clear. The truth they contain is hard to receive. And I think these two verses are sort of like a walnut, hard to crack, but there's a lot of goody on the inside. But we are going to see that next time in detail. But let me just add this further word, according as. Do you notice that? According as. And that's the connective which modifies the preceding statement. The spiritual blessings that you and I are given, they are in accord with the divine will. All is done in perfect unison with God's purpose. This world, my friend, and this universe is going to operate according to the plan and purpose of Almighty God. That's important for us to see. Now, we're going to leave off there today, but be with us next time as we go into this very difficult passage of Scripture.
That was a great teaser for tomorrow's broadcast, so I hope that you'll join us and invite a friend to hop aboard the Bible bus with us. Now, to prepare our hearts and heads for what we're going to learn, why don't we all read through Ephesians chapter 1 a few times today? And if you'd like to get a copy of our reading schedule that accompanies this broadcast, it's available on a handy bookmark that can fit inside your Bible. You can download yours today at ttb.org/bookmark, or you can also sign up for our mailing list or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE if we can help you sign up, and you'll receive it automatically along with our newsletter. That's what I do. Again, that's ttb.org/bookmark or 1-800-65-BIBLE. Well, I'm Steve Swetz, and together with all of us at Through the Bible, we sincerely pray that you would know God's grace and peace, and that it's available to you today and every day as you walk with Him.
Unto Him I owe, sin hath left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.